You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Robert. Thanks for joining us. It's been a week now since the Fed held back from commencing tapering action. Your views on when tapering should start?
Look, the issue of tapering is we've got to get off this financial heroin, but the Fed knows it. They're going to get off of it. Maybe they've delayed it till December, maybe till January. They've kicked the can down the road to the next Fed governor, which may be Janet Yellen. We don't even know who the next Fed governor is going to be. But the Fed has been consistently over-optimistic about the economic growth in the U.S., and I think maybe they realized that what they had forecast wasn't coming true. But it will happen, and already we've seen it reflected in the interest rates, which have gone up dramatically, which, of course, just leads for profitability for the banks, and the banks have begun to lend again. They have stopped buying a lot of government securities. They're starting to reduce the amount of government securities. So this is ultimately everything is starting to work in an environment where we're going to be focusing more on growth and less on financial engineering. And for investors, I think it's really good news.
For the men on the street, it probably feels like we're still in a recession. Are valuations going to start reflecting real economic fundamentals soon?
Well, we have a few things to get through. I mean, we had to get through this tapering issue, then we had to get through the German elections, and now the risk has moved to the U.S. because we have the debt limits. Then they'll have to raise the ceiling, you know, the budgets. But look, we haven't had a budget approved in the U.S. for the entire time that Obama's been president. So we're going to get through this. I don't think they're going to shut down the government. It doesn't make any sense to shut down the government. So they won't. We have to get through a few more weeks. But look, all the statistics are positive, both from a growth side, from a risk side. There's growth going on in Europe, which is, you know, go back a year from now. We were talking about Draghi, you know, mm-hmm. and his famous, we'll do whatever it takes. Okay, go back a year ago and we saw Japan in recession. Now, Japan's gone from negative 1% growth to positive 3%. Europe has gone from negative growth to positive growth. I mean, the euro's at 135. It's strong. It's giving a lot of confidence to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot of changes. And then, of course, that's reflected in China, because China's biggest customer is Europe. So when China grows, then you'll see a lot of the emerging markets grow because commodity prices are up, iron ore prices have shot up, copper prices have shot up, base metals have shot up. All of this is just beginning in this recent quarter. So we're moving way away from focus on financial engineering, where companies were borrowing money cheap to raise their dividends, buy back stock, to an area where the focus will be on growth. And I think as soon as we get through these issues in the U.S., investors are going to be, where is the growth? And they're going to start looking at markets like Malaysia and Southeast Asia, where the economies are really growing, really based on actual growth and not based on financial engineering.
So you sound pretty confident about growth in Europe and Japan, but perhaps not so much in the States.
Well, look, the U.S. will continue to grow, and you can look at things like the banking index. The banking index in the U.S. is doing much better than the S&P. And so the same thing in Europe, same thing around the world. When those things happen, what it means is the risk of dropping into the abyss, the risk of a big meltdown in the financials is lessened or almost gone, really. We'll be able to watch these risk measures, but they're not. The big concern of investors is, you know, the big catastrophic decline, not just trying to make money week after week. The U.S., you know, the challenge in the U.S. is that the market is, from a P/E ratio, is very, very high. So my guess is not that the U.S. is going to head for a big decline, but the U.S. probably will grow. The stock markets will start to slow down, and you'll see it. You'll see a catch-up around the world.
Okay, so with that view on risk, where are you looking to put your money now?
Well, actually, we've been fully invested for the past few months, and this month has been one of the more exciting months return wise, September. But you can focus on I think you should be looking on in Europe. I think you should be looking in commodities. I think you should be looking at places like Indonesia and Malaysia, where you've had substantial declines in the price of securities as well as declines in the currencies. Mm-hmm. These currencies will stabilize, and then you have a real opportunity. But you know, you have a lot of developed markets. Japan, of course, is one of the more exciting ones. They've got, you know, Abenomics is all set. They've got both houses. We're going to start seeing the structural reforms in Japan, and I think that's going to raise the market even more. And of course, the yen will eventually continue its decline.
Mm-hmm. Well, China's Alibaba, the world's largest e-commerce company, has ceased talks with the Hong Kong Stock Exchange about its IPO there, and it's now looking at New York instead. How big a damage? How much damage has this done to Hong Kong?
Oh, what a great win for the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, to get a big company like Alibaba. Although I'm not necessarily sure it's decided that they're going to go to the New York Stock Exchange or the Nasdaq. I think
it's just a rumor
fighting
that,
it out.
Yeah.
But for the U.S., it's you know, I think this might be the largest IPO since Facebook, and I think it's a great win. I mean, Hong Kong has had some challenges in the recent past, but they'll figure it out. They may have lost an IPO here and a big opportunity, but they'll get their share. And eventually, whatever, you know, look, there's a lot of money right now in the U.S. And there were a group of global investors here in Malaysia that I met with earlier this week. And there was still a big fear of putting money in global markets. And so a lot of money sitting in the U.S. And so for the Alibaba IPO, it might be a real positive. It probably will be a real positive because a lot of those investors are looking to stay onshore, but be able to invest in areas that are making a lot of sense. I mean, if you look at some of the other Chinese companies, like some of the internet companies that have listed in the United States, they have done extremely well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with the reputation of Asia as such, you mentioned that earlier, is there any reason why investors would stay away from emerging Asia?
Look, if you had told investors 5 years ago that the biggest market for Boeing and Airbus would be Malaysia and Indonesia, they would look at you like you were crazy. And I think a lot of investors don't realize what's really happening out here. There's a lot of fund managers that still make the majority of their decisions by reading reports back in their offices in their home countries and not really getting out on the ground. Mm-hmm. But when you get out on the ground, you can see how exciting the growth is and that it's for real and that it's going to continue for a long time.
Well, thank you so much. That was Robert Levitt, CEO of Levitt Capital Management, on this morning's Market Watch, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.